Normally, I would expect you to be able to read them and we could just have a conversation. And then the definitions, which were of abstinence and recovery, which were accepted by the World Service Business Conference, is that abstinence is the act of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. Recovery is the removal of the need to engage in compulsive eating behaviors, and spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery is achieved through working and living the Overeaters Anonymous 12-step program. So the definition of abstinence is the same for all OA members, but the details of their plan of eating for each member may differ depending on what compulsive food behaviors or foods that we engaged in while practicing our disease. Okay, I need my, where's my, oh, there it is. Okay, I had to have my mouse on the page. So the tools of recovery are actions that we can take to support abstinence and recovery from compulsive overeating. And we know what the 9 tools are, and we're going to go through them one at a time and how I've used the tools to support my recovery. So I'm going to start with a plan of eating where, you know, to support abstinence, which is refraining from compulsive overeating, I needed to define limits. Now, last night you heard somebody who talked about the fact that they had defined their limits by not eating, you know, one specific item. You know, sometimes, you know, that works for many people. You know, I've had people who have said, I'm not going to eat A, and then 2 weeks later, they've added something else to the list, and then they'll add something else to the list. There are also people who walk in with a plan of eating and go, this is the limits of what I'm going to eat. So the plan of eating can differ as long as for each individual, it works to help them define the limits of what their plan of eating is. That's done through discussion with healthcare professionals. When I had a plan of eating, I've taken it to my doctor, I've taken it to my nutritionist or dietitian. And then most importantly, for not for my weight, but for the incorporation of that plan into my program of recovery, discussing my food plan and what it is and why it is with a sponsor is really important as well. So that takes us to sponsorship and how that supports us both in both ways, both as a sponsor and a sponsee. As a sponsee, I've received support for issues as they arise. I discuss how the tools support apps. You know, it is a way of discussing those actions that I'm taking to work towards abstinence and recovery. And as a sponsor, it has given me a far broader view of what recovery can be for the different people that I've sponsored over the years. And it strengthens my own personal recovery because when I get to talk about what I've done that has helped me, it helps me remember and supports that. Next thing are meetings. And meetings is where I hear information that I might otherwise not hear. And we'll talk a little bit about it when we get to the telephone. But, you know, when I get to meetings, I've got people there where I didn't pick up a telephone and call them when I had an issue. So I can get feedback and hear ideas of what has happened, you know, in other people's lives. I will tell you that that was the first place that I found out that you could lose a husband and not eat over it, that you could lose parents and not eat over it, because it's not normally a conversation that we have. But for those of us who have been around a while, you know, I was 21 when I came in, as I said, my parents were healthy. I was not married. I had basically hadn't really even gone out on a date at that point. And in the ensuing 40 some odd years, I have been married twice. I have lost two husbands. And in the past year and a half, I've lost two of my, both of my in-laws and my dad. So I would not have known that I could get through that had I not gone to meetings and heard that from somebody who was going through it at the time. You get those old timer experiences that you haven't had yet. And that's been unbelievably important and supportive over the past several years. And we learn from newcomers, you know, and get reminded what it's like and why they're coming in to remember what it would have been like if we weren't in the rooms. And we, again, learn from our own and others' successes as well as the mistakes we make. You know, the telephone is an immediate contact. Feedback is important. You know, there, you know, we talk an enormous amount about prayer and meditation. I find that especially in the midst of difficulties, although that is helpful, that sometimes the voice that I hear is not necessarily some celestial spiritual voice. It's mine telling me what I want to hear. And so sometimes getting on the telephone and getting feedback from somebody else is very helpful. And it also helps us to remember that we're not alone. The last time I went out, I spent weeks telling myself that I was the only one who had to do this. You know, I was the only one who had to weigh and measure, and I was the only one who had to abstain from sugar and flour, and nobody else had to do this. It was all me. And the answer was, if I had picked up a telephone and talked to somebody, perhaps I would have heard, no, I do that too. You're not by yourself. And I could have or might have lost that reason why I eventually picked up. Writing. I do writing in several different ways. I journal. It says I write my plan. I actually type my plan. I have a little app that I share, take, you know, that I use to record my food. When I am doing a spot check fourth step inventory, I write a fourth step. When a topic comes up, I've done a number of inventories on loss over the past couple of years. I do my daily inventory. I do use the Region 7 journal, but that's a jumping off place for me sometimes. It's not necessarily the only thing I do to do spot check inventories. And then when I, you know, am working with a sponsor, they may, you know, or I always work with a sponsor, but there are times when my sponsor may suggest a topic for me to deal with, or, you know, at certain times, for instance, you know, I've asked my sponsor to work through a series of, you know, questions with me, and I will write on those assignments as well. So now this is the big one. It took me a while to get this all on the same screen. There's an enormous amount of literature that helps support our abstinence. Obviously, all OA literature is designed to help us recover from compulsive overeating. So they all in some way, shape or form will do this. But I pulled up some items, and that includes the pamphlet, A Commitment to Abstinence, Plan of Eating, Before You Take That First Compulsive Bite, The Dignity of Choice, Maintaining a Healthy Body Weight, Many Symptoms, One Solution, and the Recovery Checklist. And this is only a partial list. There are lists of these on OA.org, and I just pulled the ones that spoke the most to me. You do have Overeaters Anonymous, the third edition, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, and the Abstinence Book, which is a number, which is a Lifeline book of articles from Lifeline about it. And the one that I find incredibly helpful, both to me and to the people I sponsor, is the new 12 days thing. Now, we called it temporary sponsors, newcomers first 12 days. I have used it with people that I sponsor on a regular basis. It has nothing to do necessarily for me with being a temporary sponsor. What this is a group of 12 questions that a sponsee addresses. Again, you know, it's suggested that they write. So they are writing assignments or thought assignments. But they deal with the basics of OA as to what is abstinence, what are the tools, what are the steps, why are they important? And I found this piece remarkably helpful, both in my personal recovery and in allowing people to get a really strong jumpstart into what OA is, with a lack of some of the scarier things that people encounter when they first come in. Because it explains, you know, it gets a little bit into the spiritual nature of the 12 steps, but it's far more okay. It's far more concrete. And I find it extremely helpful. There is the strong abstinence checklist, which has been discussed at a couple of meetings this weekend. And there is an abstinence literature resource guide. Those three things are downloadable on OA.org and you can search for them. And then, you know, there is other literature out there. We don't discuss them at OA meetings, but that doesn't mean that you should, you know, just because you're in OA, that you can't find other helpful resources out there. And, you know, I have a bookshelf of inspirational books and things that I've used that I find helpful to me. But, you know, I just don't bring them into meetings. So, you know, to keep that message clear, but it doesn't mean that there aren't things to support us outside of the rooms. So, action plan for me is what takes all of these things and puts them together. It is my plan of eating. You know, it's a personal budget, whether it's financial, whether it is, in the case of a plan of eating, nutritional. It's budgeting my time. I do a lot of things and I need to be very careful as to my time commitments. I include how many calls I'm going to make during the day, a plan of exercise, if that's something that you can do, if that's something that you don't participate in, you know, you don't have to do that. I plan on a weekly basis the meetings that I'm going to attend. And then as part of my 10th step, I review my daily plans. Anonymity is the ability for me to say all of these things, and whether you agree with all of them or some of them or none of them, you know, it doesn't have judgment attached to it. And for those of us, that was interesting. But, you know, for those of us who have spent lives dealing with feeling judged, anonymity is a wonderful thing. Service. My service commitments help me remember on a daily basis how important OA is. Service position. Abstinence requirements at times have been a reason for me to remain abstinent. What's the use? I'm going to go eat, you know, but if I do that, I can't do such and such a service. Oh, but I really want to do that. So maybe I won't eat and see if it passes. I will tell you that the people I serve with have become friends and a support system like you can't believe. And then there's personal ownership of the program. My first sponsor told me that if I wanted to make OA mine, that I needed to give service, because at that point it would become my program. And that has been true. I'm going to get back to just for, you know, a really short item about the support system, because some of you know that at my second region assembly as region trustee, and just give me a second, I need, my voice is getting a little scratchy. Thank you. That I was called by my father-in-law about 10 o'clock in the morning, who was concerned about my husband. And I spent the next couple of hours calling him on and off, trying to figure out what was going on, and was not getting an answer. And one of the women who I was serving with turned and suggested that I call the police for a wellness check. And I will tell you that, you know, I'm so willing to listen to people at times that my initial response was to think that she was crazy, that the police wouldn't do that. But just to prove her wrong, I called the police, and they actually came into my home and found my husband. He had passed away suddenly, and called me at the region assembly. I was supported through that. You never want to hear that your husband passed away. But if you have to hear that your husband passed away, it's not the worst place in the world to be than at a region assembly, where you are surrounded by people, where when you're being bombarded with questions that you do not know the answer to, that there is somebody there to help. And I'll just close by saying, I am just really grateful that that happened the way it did, because I am forever grateful to this woman for having suggested that, because had she not suggested it, I would have come home the next day and found him 24 hours later, which is a nightmare that I am glad that I do not have to deal with. So I am forever grateful for my OA service, because it has provided support in ways that are just, it's just phenomenal, and helped to keep me abstinent through all of it. So that is it. That looks like that's the end of, well, that's all nine tools. So I'm going to stop my screen sharing. And that didn't take a half hour. I wasn't sure. So I've got a couple of minutes. So anyway, on a daily basis, that's some of what I do. It, you know, those are the physical activities that I participate in. Working the steps, through working the tools, and working the steps through, you know, is a far more esoteric thing. The actions that I take in between have a far more impact on me. So I work my program of recovery on a daily basis by working the steps through working the tools. And that's been my experience. It is helpful. I will tell you that for me, I am tired of Zoom meetings. I can't wait to get back into a room with other people. I'm looking at a face, you know, of somebody who I go to Saturday morning meetings with, who's sitting there nodding as I'm saying this. I really miss that face-to-face one-on-one contact. However, reality is that that's not going to happen today. And this is, I am just so grateful that if this had to happen, that it happened at a time when we could do this. Because 10 years ago, we'd be sitting on a telephone somewhere and, you know, none of this was possible. So that as terrible a situation as we are in today, we still have the ability to meet like this. And although it's not necessarily what many of us would like to do forever, for today, it's good enough. And it works. And being together like this has been a wonderful blessing. I was saying on Friday night, and then I'm going to stop, that, you know, most of the people in the room who know me know I do a lot of service. And other than serving as Region 7 trustee, I've also been serving as parliamentarian to a number of other regions. So over the past 5 weeks, the last five weekends, including this one, the four preceding this, I was at region assemblies. I was at the Region 3 assembly, then I was at the Region 7 assembly, then I was at the Region 1 assembly, and then I was at the Region 5 assembly. And by the time I finished on Sunday afternoon, I called somebody and said, I'm regioned out. I can't wait for the convention because that's the recovery process. Yes, I got a lot during those four region assemblies that I attended. And it's good to share and participate in service with other people who are in recovery from compulsive overeating. But it's even better to be sharing with people of, you know, who run the gamut of the recovery experience, because that's where I learn more, is listening to people who I don't necessarily know. For me, last night's keynote was just, you know, phenomenal. And I've never seen this person before. You know, I know a lot of people in Region 7 now. I don't remember ever having met him, and it was wonderful. And that's what you get from recovery events as opposed to service events. And they're both necessary and they're both positive experiences, but I am just so glad to have been able to spend this weekend with compulsive overeaters, you know, working towards and maintaining recovery in Overeaters Anonymous. And that's the conversation that we're having.